Let's open our Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 4. I so much appreciate that song. They did a wonderful job with that. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and this morning for our text, we're going to be focusing in on verses 21 through 25. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. And once we've found our place there, let's read our text together, if you'll follow along with me. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the good morning we've enjoyed in your presence. We thank you for the promise that when we assemble together in your name, that you're with us in a very special way. Lord, we know that you're omnipresent, you're everywhere all the time, but you made a special promise when we meet together in your house. And we thank you for being with us today and for hosting us, Lord, and giving us the honor to be with you, to worship you. Thank you for ministering to our hearts through music. Lord, we ask that you would please guide us in the study of your word this morning. We pray again, as we sang just a little while ago, that by your spirit you would illumine us. I pray that your spirit would give us spiritual light this morning to understand your word. May each and every person here today understand clearly what your word teaches. May we go away encouraged and strengthened in our walk with you as Christians. And for anyone that's here that's never been born again, they've never come to the light, I pray that today would be the day that they receive the Lord Jesus Christ and have their life transformed, their eternal destiny settled, Lord, a home with you forever and ever. Pray that you'd help us to honor you in the way we receive your word and how we present it. Please do guide us through the remainder of the service. May you be honored through it all. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In this context of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is actually sitting in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and he's kind of rowed out from shore just a little bit. He's sitting there in the boat, and along the shoreline, along the beach, there are multitudes and multitudes of people. And as Jesus sets up this natural amphitheater, he begins teaching the people many different things, many different doctrines, many different truths. And as he began doing this, Jesus begins his teaching by presenting a series of parables, okay? Some of the people in this congregation had gradually allowed their hearts to become dull of hearing. They didn't quite grasp spiritual truth that was right on the surface, and so Jesus had to speak to them in parables or stories so he could take some spiritual truths that maybe weren't so easy to understand, and he would present to them an earthly story that everybody would understand so they could compare the two, see the similarities, and be able to grasp some of that spiritual truth. So Jesus is sitting in the boat. The people are all along the seashore listening intently to what Jesus has to say. And as he began, he tells one first parable or story about this man who goes out and he just scatters seed. He just starts throwing seed everywhere, and this seed falls on different types or different kinds or conditions of soil, and that seed produces varying results depending on the condition of that soil. And in that parable, Jesus was teaching us one primary lesson, and that is the condition of our hearts will determine the spiritual fruit that is produced in our lives through the Word of God. God's Word is like seed, and when it is planted in a heart that is hard, a heart that is shallow, a heart that is dull or lacks understanding, or a heart that is just cluttered with lots of other things, that seed does not produce fruit. It just gets choked out, or it never takes deep root. It doesn't last. But when the seed of God's word reaches a heart that is honest and good, a heart that has allowed the Holy Spirit to break up the coldness and the callousness and the complacency and make that heart tender, God's word, when it enters into that heart, it brings forth fruit. It brings forth varying degrees, varying amounts of fruit. Not everyone will produce the same amount of fruit, but every good heart will bring forth good fruit for God's glory and for the good of those around us. And so Jesus challenged us really, hey, take heed to the condition of your heart. Make sure that you don't harden your heart. And if you've got thorns and cares and things that are choking God's word out of your heart, you need to get rid of the thorns. Get it out of your life so that God's word can begin to produce spiritual fruit, likeness to Jesus Christ, good works, a righteous life, so that there's spiritual fruit there. Now, as Jesus' first parable taught us the main truth of how we receive God's word with good hearts, Jesus then presents another parable seen in our text. Verse 21 says, "And he said unto them," that is in the same church service, this same beachside church service, Jesus says, hey, let me tell you another story. Let me tell you another parable. And whereas that first parable challenged us into receiving God's word in good hearts, this parable, as we're going to see this morning, encourages us with our responsibility with God's truth. We need to receive it into good hearts. But once we've received God's word, we have a responsibility with that word. That is, we're not just supposed to keep it to ourselves, but it's to go out. Our Lord not only wants us to receive his word like seed into the good soil of honest hearts, but as described in our text this morning, Jesus also wants us to give out his word like a light that is shining for those in darkness. But also, if we're going to shine out the light of God's word like a lamp, we've also got to be regularly taking in the oil, you might say, of God's word so that we have something to give out. We have a responsibility with the word to give it out to others. But if we're going to have something to give out, we've got to take heed to ourselves that we are continually taking in the Word of God. And so this morning for our message, we're going to consider this simple truth together. Give me oil for my lamp. Give me oil for my lamp. We sing this song in our King's Kids ministry. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning till the break of day. God wants us to shine out the light. He wants us to be light. So we've got to have oil coming in continually if we're going to keep giving out the light. So let's note from our text this morning then two main principles or two main truths, two main lessons that Jesus wants each and every one of us to know and to put into practice in our lives. First of all, we're going to see the lesson on lighting. There is the lesson on lighting. And then secondly, there is the lesson on listening. The lesson on lighting and the lesson on listening. And we're going to see again how these two main truths have a direct connection to one another. So let's consider first of all from verses 21 and 22 this simple thought, the lesson on lighting. Verse 21, "And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be bought under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick?" Now, as Jesus again presents this next parable, we find out that God's revealed truth, his word, the Bible, is not only like life-producing seed, but it is also like a light-producing lamp. It is a seed that gives life and brings forth fruit, but it's also a light that gives us direction and wisdom. Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Proverbs 6, 23, "For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light." So God's word is like a light. It's like a lamp. And in verses 21 and 22, Jesus gives us some lessons about the light and lamp of God's word. So what would these lessons be? Well, first of all, in verse 21, Jesus teaches us the impropriety in hiding the light. You say, what does that mean? Well, it's not that difficult to understand. Just hang on. Verse 21, Jesus asks what we refer to as some rhetorical questions. He asks some questions that have understood answers. Like everybody in the room or everyone on the beachside, if Jesus said, what's the right answer here? Even the smallest child will be able to raise his hand and say, I know that one. And so he asks, listen, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? Do you go to Walmart and buy a candle so you can bring it home, light it up, and stick it under your bed? Okay. Now, some of you might do that if you're afraid of boogeyman under your bed at night, okay? You may shine the flashlight under there. But no, you'd say, no, that's not what a candle is for. It's not to light the underside of your bed. You do that, you might catch your bed on fire, okay? And you don't buy a candle and light it up and put it under a bushel, that is, under a bushel basket. It's like, hey, you know, Johnny, can you run over there and give me that candle? I need to put a candle up under this basket. Say, Mom, have you lost your mind? Yeah, that's not what you do. It's understood. No, Lord, we understand. You don't bring a candle out just to put it under a basket, to hide it under a basket, or to hide it under your bed. He says, and not to be set on a candlestick. Don't you do it. You get this lamp or this candle to put it on a candlestick or on a lampstand. That's exactly right. Well, the analogy then is this, that God gives us light through His Word, and this light is not to be hidden. Instead, it's to be allowed to shine so that everyone in a given room, everyone in a given place may have light. To take the light, this lamp, and to put it under a basket or under a bed is an impropriety. It is an improper use of the light. That's not why you get the light, to hide it under your bed or under a basket. It's intended to be given out. And God's Word is the light. We are the light. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world, a city that's set up on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Lord said to the apostle Paul, Paul, I'm sending you to go out with the light of the gospel. I'm sending the light so that you can go out and turn people from darkness to light, from Satan to God, so that they might receive forgiveness. I give you light, not so you can put it under your basket or put it under your bed, but that you'll let it shine. This little light of yours, you're going to let it shine, right? Philippians 4, Paul said, be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. So, to receive light and to hide it is an impropriety. It is an impropriety. It's an improper use to hide the light. Now, unfortunately, sometimes we are guilty of doing exactly what Jesus made here understood that you wouldn't do. Following this analogy or this picture, sometimes you and I are guilty of taking the light and hiding it under, as Jesus said here, first of all, under a bushel. That is, under a basket. That basket, if you follow the picture of the analogy, really, this could symbolize our work, right? That was what, and this was an agricultural society. A lot of the people were farmers. If you weren't farmers, you were fishermen. You know, these were the two main sources of income. So that basket basically was representative of your work. You could say your tool belt or your hammer or whatever your work is. In other words, sometimes we are guilty of hiding our light because we get so busy with our bushels, with our baskets and our work. We get so busy with every other work that we forget what our main mission is. And our mission is to give out the light. But sometimes we get so busy with all of our work that we forget that we are responsible not just to receive the light, but to give it out to others. As David and Chloe sang a moment ago, we have one mission: to preach the gospel, to preach Christ, to seek and save the lost, to give the light to those that are in darkness. But sometimes we hide our light under a bushel basket. We're just so busy with everything else. And folks, listen, if we're too busy to give out the light, we're too busy. And we need to change some things. Sometimes we're guilty of hiding our light under a basket, but maybe more often than not, we as Christians are guilty of hiding our light under a bed. That is, we hide our light because of laziness or slothfulness. You know, that's typically, at least we try to sleep in our bed. Some of us, you know, we get in that bed and try to sleep. It doesn't quite work out like we plan, but we understand that's the purpose for a bed, right? It's for sleep, to rest. Well, that's a good thing, but if all we ever do is lie in bed or and do nothing, we're not accomplishing much in life. But sometimes we just get lazy, spiritually speaking. We become slothful. We fall asleep on our spiritual responsibilities. It's not that we're so busy with everything else. It's just that we're kind of taking it easy and we're not really focused in on telling others about Jesus Christ. We're not really sharing the light. We're just hiding it under our bed or under our basket. And this is a shame when this happens. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, "You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Live as children of God, as children of light. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. But all things that are reproved are made manifest or revealed by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." And he concludes that little passage with these words. He says, "Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." In other words, Christian, wake up. Get your light from under your bed and shine that light. So as Jesus teaches us here some lessons on lighting, he first of all teaches us about the impropriety or the improperness of hiding the light. Secondly, he teaches us this truth in verse 22, that is the impossibility of hiding the light. The impossibility of hiding the light. Verse 22, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad." Now, verse 22 really is a continuation of verse 21. Jesus is continuing to explain what he meant by those rhetorical questions. And verse 22 would further explain, again, that God desires to make manifest or make known his truth to us. He doesn't want to keep the light of his word secret from us. He doesn't want to keep us in the dark. It's also God's will that His secret things would not be kept secret, but that it would come abroad. And it's a terrible thing that sometimes the best truths that should be known to everyone are the best kept secrets. We sometimes, you know, people have a hard time keeping secret things secret. But sometimes we keep secret things that God never intended for it to be kept secret. The gospel is never intended to be, you know, just behind closed doors with no windows and no lights, and we kind of keep this to ourselves like some kind of secret cult. No. The light's to be shined. It's to come abroad throughout our neighborhood, throughout our community, throughout this world. That is a truth that is taught in verse 22. But I think that as Jesus not only expands or builds on the truth he's already said, he presents another truth in verse 22. That is, he teaches a standalone truth. He very plainly teaches that there is nothing hidden which is not going to be manifested or revealed, and that there is no secret that is not going to come abroad. Luke chapter 8 contains the parallel passage to what we're looking at. It's the very same parable, same circumstances. In Luke 8:17, as Luke records it, kind of makes that clear. In the same parable, Jesus, as Luke records it, said this, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known or come abroad." So the implication is I want my word to go out, but the general truth is this. Listen, folks, there's nothing hidden away in secret that's not eventually going to come out. There's nothing in darkness that's not eventually going to be brought into the light. Again, Luke chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, Jesus taught the same truth. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you've spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you've spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. In other words, those questions about the candlestick, the basket, and the bed teach us about the impropriety of hiding the light. Verse 22 teaches us this principle, the impossibility of hiding the light. Or you might say, the impossibility of hiding things from the light. The impossibility of hiding God's revealing light. There are things which right now are hidden, which God is going to reveal. He's either going to reveal it in this life, he's going to reveal it in the judgment. It's God's desire to reveal the truth of his word. But it's also true that there's no secret thing that one day isn't going to be revealed. And as we consider this, we understand why it's foolish for you and I to try to hide things from God. Do you realize that God sees under every basket and under every bed? Say, well, I'm going to put my candle under this bed and God won't see. No. No, God sees under every basket. He sees under every bed. He sees through every excuse. He sees every sin that's unconfessed. God is omnipresent. He's in every place. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He sees things in darkness just as clearly as in broad daylight. And this truth, taken as just a standalone truth in verse 22, encourages you and me to be open and honest before God, to seek His forgiveness in Christ and to walk in the light. Moses in Psalm number 90 said, "Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance." Do you realize that you and I have no sin secret from God? Psalm 139, the psalmist said, "Lord, You've searched me, You've known me. There's not a word in my mouth that You don't know it altogether. You understand my thoughts afar off." He said, "If I went to the depths of the sea, You would see me there." He said, "If I went into the grave, You would see me there." He said, "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee." So God has a searchlight. He sees everything. And whatever's kept secret, whatever is hidden from the light, one day is going to be brought into the light. The wise person then says, "I'm not going to try to hide anything from God." And Psalm 139 ends with these words, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." I wonder this morning, is there any sin in your life that you're trying to cover, keep hidden from God? You cannot have fellowship like that. When we try to cover sin, our light grows dim spiritually. John said, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't do the truth. He said, if we'll confess our sins, if we'll bring it into the light, he is faithful and he is just or righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The good news is that, again, God sees every secret thing. It's an impossibility to hide anything from a God whose light shines everywhere and he sees everything. The good news is that we can confess our sins to him and he will forgive us and cleanse us from all sin. So those are some lessons on lighting. Secondly, this morning let's note some lessons on listening. And this is seen in verses 23 through 25. Jesus again continuing. He says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So as Jesus continues teaching, this is not a separate Sunday school lesson. This is not a different week of King's Kids. But as Jesus continues teaching, he progresses from one truth to another. He moves from focusing on lighting to focusing on listening. And the fact is, the two are directly related. Let me explain. Here's the principle. In order to give out, we must first take in. In the case of a candle or a lamp, an oil lamp, that lamp must first receive oil in order to provide light. If the oil is not replenished, the light of that lamp is going to go out even if it's not hidden under a bed or under a basket. It's got to take in order to give out or it will go out. In other words, following the spiritual analogy or picture related to God's truth or his revelation, his revealing truth, we need to be taking heed to how we listen to God's word so that we will then be able to shine the light of God's word. For preachers and teachers, one application for us is if we want to have something to give out when we stand to teach a Sunday school class or stand behind a pulpit or King's Kids or whatever the case may be, if we're going to have something to give out, we've got to, first of all, listen and be taking something in from God. Proverbs 21:28 says, the man that heareth speaketh constantly. See, I think I've met that guy. Well, it doesn't mean that this person just talks without stopping. Some of you think I do that. It's not true. But anyhow, in order for a person to be able to speak constantly, consistently, faithfully, he must learn to be a good hearer. And a man who is constantly hearing, he's a good listener, he will become a good communicator. But the person who does not listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit during the course of the week, is not taking in the truth of God's word, he'll not be able to give it out. Again, for every Christian, Jesus' words here encourage us to take heed what we hear. Verse 24, and he said unto them, everyone that's listening, take heed what ye hear. If we're going to shine the light, we've got to be careful about what we take in. If we're going to give out the truth of God's word, we need to be careful about what we hear. And the fact is, there are some things to which we should turn a deaf ear, such as worldly counsel and fleshly wisdom. If you want to give out the light, you can't be taking in darkness constantly. If you're constantly listening to darkness, that's where it's going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The blessed man walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not sit in the seat of the scorner. He does not stand in the way of sinners, but his delights in the law of the Lord. Proverbs 19:27, cease or stop, my son. Stop hearing the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. So we need to be careful what we hear. We don't listen to certain things, but we need to purposely take heed to God's word. If we've got ears to hear, we need to hear the word of God. James said, let every man be swift to hear. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Now, I mentioned earlier that what we're looking at here in Mark chapter 4 is found also in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, again, this same parable, but Luke records it from his vantage point, his perspective, his surround sound, you might say. Luke 8:18, he records it this way, take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. So Jesus said, I want you to give out the light, but you need to first of all take heed how you hear. Because if you're not careful about how you hear, even what you have is going to go away. You're going to lose it. And if you lose it, you can't shine it. So you better first of all take heed how you listen to God's word. You need to listen diligently. If you're going to have something to give out, you better listen carefully. Acts 17:11 gives the testimony of those that were in Berea. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That's a good example for how to receive God's word, how to listen, how to take in the oil so that we have something to give out. We listen with readiness of mind. We need to listen with understanding, not just letting things go in one ear and out the other, but considering what we're hearing and understanding it. And we need to hear with the purpose of doing or obeying the word. The best way to keep from losing the truth that we hear is to put it into practice immediately. Not just let it evaporate, but immediately turn it into light. Immediately put it into practice. James said, be ye doers of the word. First of all, you got to hear it. You need to receive with meekness the engrafted word. But don't just be a hearer. He says, be a doer of the word, not hearer only. If anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks in the mirror and he sees a picture of himself. God's word reveals us as we are. We see in the light of God's word our imperfections, things that need to be adjusted. And as we look into God's word, if a man looks into the word and doesn't take heed about what he does with that truth, he walks away unchanged. He forgets what condition he was in. But the man that looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he's not being a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed. So if we don't want to lose what we gain through the word, we need to put it into practice. And God, by the way, I've heard it said this way, that God is much more apt to give to a funnel than he is to a receptacle or a container. If all we ever do is take in, take in, take in, we're going to lose that. But if we give out what we take in, we get light from God's word, we share it to others, God will give us a continuous supply of oil. We need to hear in faith. Jesus said, take heed how you hear. If you want to be a light, if you want that oil in your lamp, you need to hear diligently. You need to hear with understanding. You need to hear with the purpose of obeying, not just being a spectator, but a participant. You need to hear in faith. You need to believe it. And only as we believe the Bible are we going to be effective in sharing its message with others. If we hear it and it doesn't impact us and we don't believe it, then we're not going to be very convincing in sharing it with others. Paul commended the church at Thessalonica. He said, you receive the word with much affliction, and then what happens from you? Sounded out the word of the Lord so that we didn't need to speak anything in your area. You've already evangelized your entire area. Where did it begin? For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God which you heard of us, You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. They were shining the light. And the reason they shined the light is because they first were careful about how they received the truth of God's word. And they received it not just as the word of men, but as the word of God. You say, well, I'm struggling with doubts. I'm struggling with doubts and unbelief concerning God's word. There's some irony in this, but the cure for unbelief toward the word of God is just to hear more of the word of God. Romans 10 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Unbelief causes our light to grow dim, but faith brightens that light, and it's as we take in the word that the light is made bright. D.L. Moody said, I prayed for faith and thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith didn't seem to come. One day I read in the 10th chapter of Romans, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I had up to this time closed my Bible and prayed for faith. I now opened my Bible and began to study, and faith has been growing ever since. And finally, verses 24 and 25 really contain another standalone principle. He said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Luke recorded, take heed how ye hear. And then Jesus said this, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. It's the law of reciprocating measures. How you measure things to others is how it's going to be measured back to you. Jesus said, forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it'll be given unto you. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. So there is this law of reciprocating measures. As we measure out to others, it'll be measured back to us. We want lots of forgiveness, so we better extend forgiveness. But in this context, Jesus is teaching this principle in relation to hearing God's word and giving out God's word. Within the context of this parable about the light of God's truth, verses 24 and 25 teach us that the measure in which and with which we hear God's word is going to be measured back to us in the light that we receive God's word. If we want a full measure of oil for our lamp, we've got to give a full measure of listening to God's truth. Those who only give a short, skimpy measure to listening to God's word, receiving the truth of His word, will have a very dim light. And ultimately, those who reject, they outright reject the light of God's word, will be left with eternal darkness. May I ask you, what kind of measure do you have for taking in the light, receiving the oil of God's word? You say, Lord, give me oil for my lamp because I want to be a bright, shining light for you. I want to be able to give out the word of God. You come and say, Lord, fill my cup. Lord, give me lots of oil for my lamp. Or, no, I don't want too much of that. That's just too much. That's too much. And then we wonder why our witness, our light, is so feeble. Jesus taught us a lesson on lighting and a lesson on listening. And the way we listen to God's word will determine the kind of light that we are through God's word. So let's take heed, first of all, that we hear God's word and how we hear God's word, so that we can, first of all, receive light for ourselves, and also that we might receive oil in our lamps to shine the light of God's truth to others. Lord, thank you for the light of your word. We thank you that we don't have to walk in darkness and go through this life in ignorance, stumbling over everything that happens in this world, but we have a beacon, a lighthouse that shines forevermore. I pray that you would help us to take heed, to give diligent heed unto that light that's shining in a dark place, so that we too can shine out the light to those who are in darkness. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask you this question. Have you, as a lost sinner, one who was lost in the darkness of sin, come to God's light received his forgiveness in Christ? Has there really come that point in your life where you quit trying to hide from the light? You quit trying to hide from the exposure of God's truth, the conviction of God's Holy Spirit, and you just stepped into the light and said, God, here I am, just as I am, without one plea. O Lamb of God, I come to thee. Have you done that? Have you come to the light, as Jesus put it? How many today could say, preacher, there's been a specific time in my life where I personally came to the light, Jesus, the light of the world. And I turned from my sin, I've received Jesus Christ, and today I'm saved. I know for certain that if I were to die today, I have a home with God in heaven. If that's your testimony this morning, could you quietly raise your hand? You'd say, yes, I've trusted in Jesus for my salvation. All right, thank you. You can put your hands down. If you're here this morning, you say, I've never done that. Would you right now receive the Lord? He is the light. He wants to enter your heart and life. Is there anyone that would say, preacher, today I want to receive Jesus Christ. I've never received Him, but today I want to say yes to Jesus. I want Him to take away my sins. Is there anyone that would make that decision this morning? You'd raise your hand. You'd say, today I want to trust Christ. I want to receive Him. All right, Christian, are you shining the light in your world? Would Jesus say, Christian, why is your light hidden under your basket? It's gotten obscured because of your busyness. Or would He say, Christian, what's your light? What's your lamp doing under your bed? Are you shining the light? Is there some sin in your life that you've attempted to hide from God? Do you need to confess that to the Lord? Confess your sins to the Lord. He'll forgive you. And that light can shine through you once again, the Holy Spirit. Are you receiving the light and the oil of God's Word so that you have light to give to others? Are you daily taking in and listening to the Word of God so that you can be the kind of witness and light that God wants you to be in your world, wherever God has placed your candlestick, your lamp? Are there any changes which you need to make this morning in your life regarding either lighting or listening, giving out God's Word or taking it in, being a witness or building your faith, strengthening your faith so that you can be a witness? Will you obey the light this morning? Lord, thank You for Your truth. I pray that You would give to those that hear, Lord, those that are thirsty, pour water upon the thirsty, Lord, those that want to be a light. I pray You'd pour oil into their lamps. Help us to be what we should be for You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.